Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast.
Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England with your hosts Amelia
and Beth.
And today we are talking about something so cool.
Unlike every other week.
This week it's extra cool because we're extra close to Halloween. Do you want to tell them what we're talking about?
Yes. We are talking about shadow people.
Ooh.
And even though Amelia and I had a long talk about this before we started recording, that neither one of us believes that shadow people are ghosts.
No.
But we both believe that they are spooky.
Yes.
And scary and definitely worth talking about.
They're in the ballpark of ghosts.
Yeah. I mean, they're not totally like out of the, it's not aliens. It's not Bigfoot.
Well, it's not Bigfoot.
All right. It's not Bigfoot. It's not Loch Ness Monster.
It's not Bigfoot. It might be aliens. I don't know. Okay. So do you have anything else before we start?
No, I think we should get right to it.
All right. Here we go. So what's a shadow person? A shadow person, also known as a shadow figure, shadow being, or black mass, is the perception of a patch of shadow as a living humanoid figure. Particularly as interpreted by believers in the paranormal or supernatural, is the presence of a spirit or entity. A number of religions, legends, and belief systems describe shadowy spiritual beings or supernatural entities, such as shades of the underworld. And various shadowy creatures have long been a staple of folklore and ghost stories. An excerpt from shadowpeople.dotster.com describes them as the mere silhouette of a person, usually male, but generally lacking in any other characteristics of gender. However, in no way does the description end there. There are hatted shadowed beings, hooded shadows, cloaked ones, or solid wispy smoke types. Some are seen only from the waist up. Others clearly have legs and are seen fleeing from their observers. They dart into corners, through walls, into closets, or behind television sets, bushes, and buildings. Sometimes they simply fade into dark recesses of the night. Lacking in description is one common denominator unifying the many different types of shadow people that enter our world, except that they are intensely dark. Even then, there are exceptions. The Coast to Coast AM late night radio show helped popularize modern beliefs in shadow people beginning on April 12, 2001, when host Art Bell, my guy, interviewed Native American elder Thunder Strikes, who is also known as Harley Swiftier Regan. Later that year, in October of 2001, renowned paranormal author Heidi Hollis published her first book on the topic of shadow people, which skyrocketed her into being one of the most prominent experts on shadow people in the paranormal community. Hollis describes shadow people as dark silhouettes with human shapes and profiles that flicker in and out of peripheral vision, and claims that people have reported the figures attempting to jump into their chest and choke them. She believes the figures to be negative alien beings that can be repelled by various means, including invoking the name of Jesus. Although seers describe them as menacing, other believers and paranormal authors do not always agree whether shadow people are evil, helpful, or neutral. And some even speculate that shadow people may be the extra-dimensional inhabitants of another universe. Some paranormal investigators and authors, such as Chad Stambaugh, claim to have recorded images of shadow people on video. Rosemary Ellen Gulley, who has published over 50 books on a wide range of paranormal, spiritual, and mystical topics, and has Visionary Living Incorporated, identifies shadow people as a category of creatures called the Djinn. In an interview with Psychology Today about Gulley's book, The Djinn Connection, an interviewer asked, "You are known for books about angels, demons, vampires, witches, and the like. What drew you to the djinn subject?" She responded, "There were two major avenues, both involving shadow people, dark and menacing humanoids I had been researching since 2004. I already knew a bit about the djinn from earlier research in demonology. I noticed that many cases of persistent negative hauntings involved shadow people, so I began probing for their true identity. I discovered that many shadow people experiencers are also extraterrestrial experiencers." What?
What's an experiencer?
Whoops. "Extraterrestrial experiencers, especially abductees. Through a long process, I concluded that shadow people are a shape-shifted form taken by the djinn. Therefore, there is a profound connection between djinn and bad hauntings and extraterrestrial abductions. Furthermore, the footprints of the djinn are evident throughout our mythologies about ancient aliens and gods. The picture that emerged is of a major djinn involvement in all of our entity contact experiences throughout history. Ooh.
I love ancient aliens. I love that wicked Greek guy who he's always like orangely tan and he's so excited about everything that he's talking about. And he's 100% convinced that every single thing that he's telling you is 100% proof of aliens.
God bless him.
And it doesn't matter what the topic of the show is that week. He's always convinced. I love that guy.
I love his memes. Okay. Several psychological and physiological conditions can account for reported experiences of shadowy shapes seeming alive. A sleep paralysis sufferer may perceive a shadowy or indistinct shape approaching them while they lie awake paralyzed and become increasingly alarmed. A person experiencing heightened emotions, such as while walking alone on a dark night, may incorrectly perceive a patch of shadow as an attacker. Many methamphetamine addicts report the appearance of shadow people after prolonged periods of sleep deprivation. Psychiatrist Jack Potts suggests that methamphetamine usage adds a conspiratorial component to the sleep deprivation hallucinations. One interviewed subject said that you don't see shadow dogs or shadow birds or shadowed cats. You see shadow people standing in doorways, walking behind you, coming at you from the sidewalk. These hallucinations have been directly compared to the paranormal entities described in folklore. And that's our introduction to shadow people.
I like it. That really covered a lot of stuff.
That's why we have listeners. We go in depth, baby.
I know, but that was such a good introduction that really touched on a lot of the different things that we're going to talk about tonight. Yeah?
Yes.
Good job.
Thanks so much.
What is that phenomena called where we try to make a person out of all the faces? Pareidolia?
I'm not good with big words, but you're close.
You know what I mean, though, right?
I know exactly what you mean.
Pareidolia.
Yes.
Does that sound right?
That sounds right.
Okay. So I think that there is a certain amount that goes on with shadow people that does come back to pareidolia. When you're walking alone down a street late at night and, you know, maybe you had a one or a two or maybe too many and you're a little tipsy going along, like, and you see a shadow, yes, your brain is automatically going to try to make a person out of whatever that thing is that we see.
So as a really paranoid person, I can say I don't need any drinks. And if I am walking alone at night, I will like, I always, and I'm clutching my mace as I walk, thinking, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's someone behind that tree, but there isn't. It's just the shadow of the tree.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so long as we're clear that you're not actually in any danger.
Not usually.
All right. But you have your mace just in case.
Always.
So I think that most people, when they think of shadow people, the first thing that comes to mind these days is actually Slender Man. Would you agree?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So with the history of Slender Man, for those of you out there who aren't familiar with it, in a nutshell, some guy created this fake...
Creepypasta.
Is that the guy's name?
No, it's called a creepypasta. It's an internet forum for people to write strange stories.
Okay. So some guy created a creepypasta about this shadow figure, and he called it Slender Man.
Yep.
And other people got all interested and excited about it. And these girls out, where were they? Like Minnesota, Montana?
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Okay. I feel like they were somewhere like the northern Midwest. They took it too far and they actually killed someone.
Yep.
And blamed it on Slender Man, this made up shadow person.
Correct.
Okay. So with that in mind, Amelia and I are going to tell you a bunch of stories tonight that are supposedly firsthand accounts from people who have had various encounters with shadow people. And we have culled them from the internet, and we are making no guarantees about their authenticity or anything behind it, just saying that we found you a bunch of stories that people are saying about encounters they had with shadow people.
Yeah, so if you decide to kill someone, that's on you.
Yeah. Don't kill anybody.
Yeah. If you think you're being possessed, just call someone.
All right. So as Amelia said in the opening, shadow people have a long history of mythology and lore behind them. The ancient Egyptians, way back when, they actually believed that the shadow was one of seven souls that a person has. And that the shadow was called the Sheut, S-H-E-U-T. And it was like a small human. It was depicted in pictures as a small human that was attached to the regular sized human. And so it became associated with the idea of death because they also drew dead people as little black figures. So there was this idea that you couldn't have a person without a shadow, and you couldn't have a shadow without a person. So slowly...
How do they describe trees? Like, trees have shadows.
I don't think that they have trees in Egypt.
Yeah, that's fair. Pyramids. Cats.
Well, they definitely have cats in Egypt. Yeah. They all have a shadow while they're alive.
A pyramid doesn't.
Well, but a pyramid has souls within it.
Yeah, that's fair. A wagon.
But, and it's also that the pyramid's shadow doesn't look like a person.
Yeah, that's fair too.
Just saying.
I'm just playing the devil's advocate.
That's okay. So moving from ancient Egypt across to ancient Greece, people actually dedicated their shadow to Zeus, and it was considered to be a marvelous sacrifice. Until then, later, it wasn't such a marvelous sacrifice because you need your shadow. And people would go... You're doing the eyebrow furrowing thing. What's going on over there?
They're not furrowing that much.
Well, no, the Botox is fine. You're just
Thank
making
you.
The...
Sorry. Yeah, I'm just thinking. I'm considering my thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah.
People would go to the temple of Zeus Lysias, and they lost their shadow. Lysias was also traditionally believed to be the origin of werewolves.
Nice.
So the idea that a werewolf doesn't have a shadow, right? And if you don't have a shadow, you don't have a soul. Right?
Vampires don't have shadows.
We'll get to that.
Great.
All right. So even though the Greeks had a different god of shadows, it was Erebus, the god of the underworld, the shadow that a person had was considered separate from the god of the shadow. I was really kind of confused about the Greeks' idea about a shadow. But the Romans, because the Romans stole all sorts of stuff just because they thought it was fun. The Romans called your shadow your umbra, and it was called the shade. And it belonged underground and in the underworld, and it's where a person's shadow went after death. So any shadows that you saw unattached to people, i.e. shadow people, would have to be some sort of dead presence. So the Romans were kind of on board with shadow people being ghosts, that they were the remains of a dead person.
But like the negative remains, right?
Yes. So all dead people were negative at that point. Romans, like if you went to the underworld, you were not a god. And the gods would have been the only people who were positive ghosts. Does that make sense? So
no.
The Greeks and the Romans had this idea of if you were a good person, very similar to our idea of heaven now, but you would go through this transformation of, it's some really fancy, fun word, and I can't come up with it right now, but basically you were turned into a star.
Oh, I like that.
So, apothecariosis, something like that. Hmm. But that's not it at all.
Sounds like a makeup company.
I'll come up with it before the end of the episode. So if your soul went to the underworld, that's where all like the regular people went. So it was only people that were like Julius Caesar.
I think we're all stars.
Of course you do.
I'm in the vortex.
In medieval times, it was believed that werewolves, vampires, and witches all lacked a shadow. And there were all sorts of hunts that went on for all of these different beings at different times in the Middle Ages. And they all lacked a shadow, so they all lacked a soul. So you can see this kind of idea carrying through all the way from the ancient Egyptians through the Greeks and the Romans. And I did find a little bit on the Norse mythology. As a history teacher, it pains me that we don't teach Norse mythology, because then I would know how to say all of those fun Nordic gods' names. And so anyway, Ragnarok, and I'm sure I just said it wrong, means going into shadow. That's the Norse underworld. So this idea has followed civilization since the earliest civilizations. Even in the earliest chapters of the Bible, it talks about people's shadow being part of their soul, and that when their shadow leaves them, they are no more.
Where in the Bible does it say that?
Numbers.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. All right.
I thought that was very interesting, too.
Huh.
And now we come up to modern times, where we have our seven types of shadow people. So the most common of all of the shadow people is the Hat Man. And he's the 7 foot tall guy that shows up and is usually wearing like an overcoat kind of thing. And he's got on a hat. It's either a top hat looking thing or a fedora. And he just kind of stands there. He induces a bit of anxiety and terror, but he doesn't usually do anything. He just stands there and kind of looks at you, makes you scared. And then he kind of like floats away into the background.
Okay.
So that's really the most common one that we've heard of. So here's my first Hat Man story.
Hat Man.
And again, I pulled these from all sorts of corners of the internet. And as much as I would love to credit all of the sites that I got them from, I kind of forgot to note down where they came from. But none of these are my own words or my own writing. I am just reading them to you. I saw him at 18 years old in my room after a particularly traumatic experience. I woke up at an incredibly late hour, probably 2 or 3 a.m. I didn't check, but something was off. I was speaking in a language I'd never heard. I was speaking to what I can only describe as a young girl or something with the body type of a young girl, perhaps 14, in a dress. I couldn't make out her features, but I could make out her eyes and her mouth, which could only be described as sharp-looking, like a human piranha or something. She was whispering something in my ear, and I was replying in this strange language. But it wasn't just this shadow girl. My bed was surrounded by tall, dark figures, which I could not make out the features of, perhaps 4 of them, not counting the girl. They sat motionless and watched me, but the most striking figure was a tall man in a wide-brimmed hat standing in the corner of my room. I could feel as if he was amused, no, more amused than the others. Each time the girl whispered in my ear, I would let out a reply, which I didn't understand, and the man in the hat would be delighted. You'd think that one would be scared of that sort of encounter, but it felt familiar. I felt rather warm, as if I were surrounded by old friends or family.
Creepy.
I know.
Yeah, that's creepy.
What's with the girl with, like, the piranha mouth? Like,
yeah.
That's one of the very few reports that I could find, actually, that referenced any sort of female with these shadow people.
Doesn't sound like she was a shadow person, I mean.
Well, no. But, yeah, this is all sorts of weird. Are you going to talk about aliens later?
I can.
Okay. Because I think that we should come back to this particular story when we talk about your aliens theory later. Okay. Do you have another Hat Man story?
Yes. And wouldn't you know it, you found it for me. All right. I saw a tall human-like figure, and the figure looked like that of a man. The man had no distinguishable features whatsoever. I could see no eyes, no nose, no mouth, only blackness. He looked like a shadow. Only darker, much darker. He had a very wide-brimmed hat and a long trench coat that flowed as he moved. He stood there for what seemed like an eternity. He then moved very slowly and without a sound back into the hallway, just out of view. Signed, Tim Brown.
Thank you, Tim Brown, for submitting your story to the internet so that we could read it tonight.
Oh, gosh.
That sounds like a pretty typical Hat Man sort of story. You know, he just shows up, looks at you, makes you, I don't know, wet your bed, and then he goes away.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. And Hat Man stories are fun.
Yeah.
All right. So the next kind of shadow person that we have is the aggressive attacker shadow people. And these are the ones that people will... You're doing that thinking thing again.
Yeah, can I think, please?
You can, but you're making very obvious thinking faces, like you're getting ready to contradict me.
No, I'm just thinking about shadow people. If you really want to know what I was thinking about, I was thinking about, you know that show when we were kids, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I remember the concept of it. I don't know that I ever saw it.
Yeah, and on the intro to it, it had like shadow people and it was like blue lit behind it. And they were kind of like staring at you through the thing. And it was an episode I saw and it scared me. And that's what I was thinking about, Bap.
Oh.
Because you need to know everything going through my brain at all times.
Absolutely. Especially when it looks like it's going to contradict me in something about my shadow people.
No. Thinking about the subject.
All right. So this is the shadow person that is second most common after the Hat Man. So the Hat Man is the one where he'll just stand there and look at you and terrify you and go away. But this is the one that a lot of people report being attacked by. He will physically attack you as you're sleeping. He will beat you, choke you. Sometimes he will pick you up and drop you like on the floor.
Body slam.
Yeah. And he looks like most of the other shadow people. He's a humanoid figure. He doesn't have any features. He just is kind of like leering over you, sits on your chest. So the aggressive attacker shadow person has actually the most explainable scientific cause to it. And they are really people who seem to be having sleep paralysis and just get that like that feeling of heaviness right on their chest. They feel like they can't breathe. And maybe as they are like trying so hard to kick and like get out of sleep paralysis that they manage to flip. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but they manage to flip themselves right out of bed.
Honestly, that's the first, when you were describing it, that's the first thing I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, not to dismiss anyone's stories of the paranormal, because I will believe everything every time. But that is kind of what it sounded like someone experiencing sleep paralysis, mm-hmm. still being half asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And like having these weird things go on.
Yeah. So that's the aggressive attacker. And I think I have a story about them here somewhere.
You know what? Can I say something else real quick?
Of course.
Well, I was doing my research. I don't like get sleep paralysis. I'm not one of those people. Mm-hmm. I did not realize it only lasts 2 minutes. That's what they all said. They said it only lasts 2 minutes on average, but it can feel like much longer.
Okay. That's it. All right. Because I've had it happen. At least I've been told that's what it was. There wasn't actually a man standing there next to my bed is what I've been told.
Hmm.
I had sleep paralysis. And yeah, it felt like I laid there for like an hour.
Yeah.
Like just terrified and sweating.
Well, because a lot of people, when they tell me about it, they're like, oh yeah, it was like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. But I was looking up all this research about shadow people today and sleep paralysis kept coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the sites were like, and these are like doctor sites. These, you know what I mean? They were like, yeah.
Like medical doctors, right?
Yeah. Not like...
Not like that guy in Ancient Aliens.
Right.
I think he claims he's a doctor of something or other.
He probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah, God bless him.
Yeah. Hey, you get a doctorate, good for you.
Yeah. Way to go.
I hope to get one day. Anyway, aggressive shadow people story?
Yes.
All right. My best friend, when he was a boy, he was laying on his bed with the lights on. A shadowy figure emerged from his closet and moved toward his bedside. The shadow being reached out a finger and touched my buddy's leg. He screamed and the figure vanished and his folks were there in moments. My friend's father noticed that the closet door was open and his parents knew he never slept without it closed. The black spot on his leg remained visible for several years, but the shadow being never returned. To this day, my friend has no idea what happened, but he does know one thing. It was real. Paul Sykros. Thank you, Paul Sykros, wherever you are in the world, for sharing your friend's horrible, horrible and frightening story.
That's weird.
I know, like a visible mark that stayed for years?
Wouldn't you take your child to the doctor?
We don't know what these people's situation was.
That's true. And I feel like in the 1980s, it was just like...
Rub some dirt on it.
Now you got a black mark.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not somewhere like in the middle of your forehead or something. Like,
even then, not my problem. Like,
get over it. It'll build character.
Right. Oh, gosh.
We're sorry to our younger listeners, but these are the things that actually were said to us when we were children. Not like, it's not my problem. There's a big black mark in the middle of your forehead. But, you know, basically all those other things. Yeah. I heard them at one time or another. Next type of creepy shadow person. The red eye specters. So these are the shadow people that look at you with their red, glowing, fiery eyes. And they are very menacing. And you become terrified by seeing them. But what what's thought to happen with them is that they are actually sucking the fear off of you, and they get bigger and stronger by feeding on your fear.
I feel that's true of most negative entities.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah, I really believe that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Especially since, you know, some of the stories that I'm getting about these, they seem to be drawn to people who have negative things going on with them at the time, mm-hmm. and they really pull from that energy.
Yeah.
So,
I totally believe that.
It's time for the red eye story.
Okay. Cody Lilly's family has encountered this type of shadow for years, a black human-shaped figure, featureless, except for the wide-brimmed hat. We called him the cowboy because he kind of looked like the Marlboro Man, Lily said. The cowboy stepped into Lily's life his sophomore. Lily's a man.
Lily's his last name. I believe his first name is Cody.
Yeah, that's a, yep, I read that part. Good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I had to do that too the first time I read through it.
Okay. The cowboy stepped into Lily's life his sophomore year of high school in Clarendena, Iowa, and visited almost nightly for 2 years, pacing about his room, waiting for something. The entity, with fiery red eyes, never spoke, never approached him. But Lily knew why it was there. It hungered.
I'm sorry. That was so well done. It hungered.
You know, I'm trying to be an actress, you know? It was feeding, Lily said, convinced the cowboy was absorbing energy from his terror. The first time I saw it, I was completely incapacitated by how scared I was of it. Lily soon went to college 30 miles south, and the visit stopped until after graduation in 2011 when he moved to Nebraska. Same year I graduated.
From college?
From college, yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. My girlfriend, that is now my fiancé, is in Kansas City, and I am in Omaha. I was crashing with friends here, he said. My car started acting up. I'm in the process of looking for a job, finding an apartment, buying an engagement ring. I had a lot of stuff on my plate, which might have brought on what happened. What happened was the cowboy. I'm sitting in my car on the phone with my mom. I didn't know much about cars, but my mother does. As Lily described the car's behavior to his mother, he noticed a movement in the corner of his right eye. Lily turned towards the passenger side window and saw it. The shadow man that once tormented him in the night. The cowboy. It was full on. A shadow person in an old fedora. What? A fedora?
Yeah. It's a hat.
It's our first fedora story.
Well, it said in the top that he wears a hat. Like a cowboy. It went from a cowboy hat to a fedora hat.
Cowboys do not wear fedoras. It was standing there. It leaned over like it's bending to look at me. As Lily stared in horror at this red-eyed shadow man in full daylight, the cowboy reached out his arm and knocked on the car window. It knocked 2 times, Lily said. After it knocked, it dissolved in my vision. It just showed up and knocked on my window and it was gone. Lily wonders if the cowboy wanted him to let him know he was still around. It's been quite some time since I saw him, he said. I'm just kind of thinking he just showed up. I was feeling stressed out, and I think he showed up just to feed on that.
Can you believe that? A red-eyed specter showing up to feed on his anxiety and his fear and his tough time in life?
Yeah, that's spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the idea that it like reached over and tapped on the glass? I tried to do some sound effects when you read that part.
Did he like, was he like screaming on the phone with his mom? Is he like, mom, the cowboy's back? Like, how did that conversation go?
I don't know.
And why didn't his mom teach him about cars?
You can't teach your kids everything. And quite frankly, his mom probably did teach him and he wasn't listening.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've taught lots of stuff that people didn't learn.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel that.
All right. Shadow person type number 4, the hooded figure. So the hooded figure looks kind of like a monk, and he sounds just like his name would indicate. He's a humanoid figure wearing a hood.
Ba-da-da!
He doesn't have any features. His victims describe a feeling of just like seething hatred coming from underneath the hood. But he doesn't harm his victims. He really just stands there and hates at them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know what that reminds me of that I'm very into this week? I've been looking it up a lot.
Okay.
The Evil Eye.
Oh.
Yeah. Are you familiar with it?
Who talked about that in here? Did Tim Regan talk about it?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I've been reading up extensively on the Evil Eye, and it said people just look at you and think hate. Yeah. Just like that. Just like what I just did. People look at you and they think hate, and then you have the Evil Eye.
That's all it is.
And you got to like, yeah, then you're in trouble. Now you have the Evil Eye and you got to like do some stuff with eggs. And, you know, I'm a vegan, so that's out. So I don't know.
Well, hopefully nobody gave you the Evil Eye then.
I think I have it.
You think somebody gave you the Evil Eye?
I think so. I was out to dinner with this is a side story. I was out to dinner with my friend Yash, and her real name is Yashi. I just call her Yash. And I was telling her about this business issue I had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, dude, that's like the Evil Eye. And I was like, oh. Yeah.
One of your business people gave you the Evil Eye?
She thinks some other people put the Evil Eye onto my business, and that is why it ended the way it did.
Oh.
Yes. So now with some stuff going on in my current situation, I'm like, what if I have the Evil Eye?
So what do you have to do with the eggs?
I don't know. You like roll it all over your body and then you crack it. I don't know. I'm a vegan, so.
That's gross.
You don't crack it on you. You crack it in water.
But even still.
I'm looking at, no, well, it's like, it's an egg. It's not going to get on you as long as you don't break it.
Okay.
No, like an egg.
Like in the shell.
Yeah.
Not like Rocky style, crack it into the glass.
No. Oh. That's after.
Oh, then you have to drink it?
No, then you throw it out.
So, all right. So explain to me what your problem is with this. I mean, it's still in the egg, like in the shell. You don't have to eat it.
I just don't like wasting eggs.
Just as an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell anyone you did this, but maybe you use one of the eggs that you then cook and give to someone.
No. Why would you? No.
I don't know. Maybe you cook it and give it to me. I would be okay with that.
What?
I would.
No, then I'd give you the Evil Eye. You'd have that bad energy, and then you'd be eating it.
But only if I believe in the Evil Eye, which nobody knows that I do.
Hold on. This conversation is getting out of whack. I'm not rubbing an egg on myself and serving it to someone. That goes so far. One, I mean, health codes alone would pervade that. One. And two, the ethics. I mean, we're going down a dizzying road right now.
I want to point out that it's like an Easter egg.
No. Okay.
You can like paint the outside of an Easter egg.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And it doesn't actually hurt the inside egg at all.
Okay.
So I just don't quite grasp.
I'll come over to your house and
rub an egg all over yourself.
And myself with a hard egg.
Okay. Does it have to be raw inside or can it already be?
No.
It can't be hard boiled already.
No. It's part of it.
Does it have to be a chicken egg?
Yes, it has to be a chicken egg. It's a whole thing. Can we get back to shadow people?
Unfortunately, I was not able to find any stories of people who had an encounter with this hooded figure. But it did make me think of Will Fox's drive-by ghosting that he sent in, where he was on that investigation, and there was just this evil presence there.
I thought that was the red eyes.
Were there red eyes there?
Yeah, that was red eyes.
But maybe Will had a shadow person. Maybe there was a shadow person hanging out there.
You know what? And that would make even more sense now that you said it, because a lot of people consider shadow people to be djinn, and that is what Will said he felt he was dealing with the red eyes. Food for thought.
Interesting.
Food for thought. Yum, yum, yum. Eat up those thoughts.
But not eggs.
No.
All right. Shadow person number 5. Watchmen shadow figures. Which do exactly what they sound like. They just stand there and watch you. They don't hurt you. They don't talk to you. They don't get mad at you. They don't suck your fear out of you and get stronger. They just watch you. They just keep watching you until it's very, very uncomfortable.
So it's just like a guy at a bar?
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
Pretty much. Except The guy at the bar, like, follows you home and, like, stands over you while you're sleeping and, like, goes into the bathroom with you and, like, shows up at your desk at work. And I wonder if many of our listeners work at a desk.
I know quite a few who do.
Okay. Well, can all six of you that listen to this let us know?
Yeah, can the five of the six of you who work at desks?
So one of the six is your dad, right? He listens to our show. He used to work at a desk.
He did. That's very true. Yeah.
Okay. So we're down to one person who works at a desk. We already know of one person who works at a desk.
We know of at least one.
So, yeah, the watcher would, yeah, it's like a creepy guy at a bar, but comes home with you and won't go away. Ready for my Watchmen story?
Yes.
Okay. While lying there, unable to sleep, I became aware of a presence, and suddenly and silently, a figure moved through our bedroom door and proceeded to our bed. Then rounded the corner of our bed, took up a fixed position at the foot of the bed, and I was aware that this entity was conscious of us and was intently watching us as we lay there. The entity can best be described as something that had the appearance of black smoke or a shadow. However, it was more material than either of these, but less material than a real person. The most odd thing about this is my lack of fear. Although I was acutely aware of this being and the fact that it was not of this earth as we perceive it, it did not seem to arouse any fear response in me. I would say it aroused a feeling that would fit somewhere between creepy, odd, and curiosity, especially considering the fact that it was as aware of me as I was aware of it. After some time, I almost convinced myself that I was imagining it, but then I became aware of the fact that my wife was no longer breathing like she was asleep, but was breathing almost silently. I then said, "Honey, you awake?" To which she answered, "Yes." And I said, "Do you see anything?" And expecting her reply to be, "What do you mean?" Much to my surprise, she said, "You mean that thing standing at the foot of the bed?" At this time, I did become somewhat nervous. We laid there for about 10 minutes, and then it was gone. It was just over a period of about 10 seconds, became less solid, and our perception of its presence became weaker until it just wasn't there anymore. Then it was as if it had never been there. Nothing like this has happened since, and the only evidence it ever existed is my wife and my memories of it.
Now, I am a single woman. However, I imagine were I not, and that I was in that situation, I can't imagine we would just sit there for 10 minutes staring at it.
What else would you do?
When I feel threatened, I tend to hit things.
Well, I think that you could probably swing at a shadow person all you want and it wouldn't do anything.
Like, I feel like if I was sitting next to someone threatened, like, I'd be like, oh,
you'd hit the person that you were sleeping next to?
Yeah.
For all of you that were hoping to be that person next to Amelia, just kind of keep that in mind.
Like, I think I'd be like, hyperventilating.
I mean, we
screaming.
Have six listeners. One of them's your dad. So you got like four people out there that could be interested.
I think one or two of them probably already dated. They're sitting there nodding like, yeah, that's the shit she does.
All right, sorry. You were hyperventilating?
No, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I would freak out. I would freak out. I'd be like, turn the lights on. We're getting out of here.
What if it was blocking your path to the door?
I would be like, turn the lights on. We're getting out of here.
Oh. I suppose, I wonder what would happen if you turned the lights on with a shadow person. Do they disappear?
Cowboy was in broad daylight, so I
know.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't know.
I wouldn't recommend trying to hit it, just because you'd waste your energy.
I'd freak out. I'd send my cat to attack it.
Did you tell us in the top of the episode that you could invoke the name of Jesus?
Yes.
Would you just yell Jesus at it?
I do pray a lot, so I would probably start praying if I really felt that threat, like out loud.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems a lot more useful than hitting the person next to you. I'm just going to throw that
I'd probably be doing it all at the same time.
Would you throw your cat at it?
I don't throw my cat.
Would you encourage your cat?
I would, yes. Oh, yeah. My cat's mean.
Liddy, go take care of that.
Liddy, get the shadow! All right, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, so then we move on to shadow person number six, the Misty People.
Ooh.
And so the Misty People appear as clouds of smoke and they move like mist or clouds, and they're very attracted to negative energy. But this was another one that I was not able to find a firsthand account of this. So, I mean, there's a big part of me that wonders, like, if there's no firsthand accounts of this kind of stuff, how do you know that this is, like, a thing?
Don't know. What comes to mind when I hear that is, again, I hate to say it, but jinn. Like, the idea of a genie. Like, a genie, you know, out of a lamp is, like, misty, you know, when it comes out. So that's another trope of the jinn. Interesting.
And I mean, they all had to come from, these ideas had to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess.
All right. And that brings us to type of shadow person number 7, shadow animals.
Nice. That's not a person.
Well, it's a shadow being.
Okay.
So your shadow animal.
I've seen shadow cats. Sorry.
Oh, we'll be looking for that story once I finish telling people what shadow animals are.
Okay.
All right. So. Shadow animals are cats, dogs, rats, birds, apes. They're typically just low down to the ground kind of animals. You won't see like a shadow kangaroo. Daniel, if you've seen a shadow kangaroo, we need to know.
Yeah, I like kangaroos.
Cats are actually the most popular or common shadow animal for people to see. The thing about cats when they're shadow animals is they're a lot like cats when they're alive. They can like torment the things that they don't like. So as you know, your cat may be upset with you some days and make your life a living hell.
Yeah,
right. Or if you were to bring another cat over to your house,
my cat would
kill it,
destroy it.
Yeah.
Very territorial.
She would be very upset about
that. She would kill that cat and then she would kill me.
Yeah. So shadow cats will do similar things to that. They make life miserable for the things they don't like. So, you've seen a shadow cat, you say?
Yeah. Didn't make my life hell. I don't know. I can't describe it. It's like being somewhere and then on the periphery of my eyes, I think I see a cat like rubbing against the corner of a wall and I look and there's no cat. But it's like a black shadow of a cat. When I was a kid, I always thought it was like my spirit animal.
You've been seeing this shadow cat for a long time?
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, I've never seen a shadow cat.
Well, maybe you have a different spirit animal.
Well, I don't see any shadow animals. That's not one of my things.
Yeah, I've seen shadow cats. Okay. But like, I can't like look directly at them.
Well, no,
just,
that's
like out of the corner of my eye.
I mean, isn't that one of the things about shadow people? They are on the periphery of your vision.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you're that couple that was laying in bed and it was like right there.
Or the cowboy guy.
Or the cowboy guy who knocked on the window.
Ooh.
That's crazy. All right. I do have a story about shadow animals.
Okay.
Do you want to tell this one?
No, you can.
Okay. So this is by Tillis. And Tillis wrote this in 2008. He or she is from Texas. And this is their shadow animal story. One summer, my parents and I went to San Antonio, Texas to get away from people and problems. We decided to go to the Riverside Mall and look around. It seemed like a normal day, nothing out of the ordinary. But then we went outside to walk along the, quote, river. I've never been to San Antonio, Texas, but I wonder why river is in quotes.
I was just going
to
say, quote, river.
Yeah, it's in quotes.
River.
River.
Was it a meth river?
Oh, I don't know. Among a small group of pigeons was the strangest pigeon I've ever seen. The pigeon was completely black. You're a bird person.
There are black pigeons.
There are?
Yes.
Well, I'm wondering if it was just a crow. I'm trying to find my place. The bird noises. I stared at it as we walked past, and it stared back. Some of the other pigeons flew away in fright, but the black pigeon didn't budge. I'm telling you, it was a crow. Maybe it was a raven. My mom up at her farm has this raven. There might be a whole family of ravens. I don't know, but she feeds it. And she goes out in the morning at like some ungodly hour. And I know this because I was sleeping. And at some ungodly hour, she's out like in the driveway. I'm going to lean back to do this, but she's going, Raven! Raven! Yelling to the stupid bird. I'm like, Mom, it's like 6:30 in the morning. Like, what are you doing?
God bless her.
Maybe it's a raven. Maybe it's a crow. Maybe it's a black pigeon.
Maybe it's a shadow animal.
Maybe it is. That night, we went back to the Riverwalk for dinner. The river water looked pitch black in the darkness, and I had no way of knowing how deep the water was. I'm not very good at swimming, and I'm terrified of drowning, so I kept a wary eye on the water. On the river's edge.
Water.
With air quotes.
In the river.
And on the river's edge was another black pigeon, staring and watching as I passed by. It was probably waiting for a french fry.
I love french fries.
I like french fries too, but you know who really likes french fries?
Pigeons.
Seagulls.
I don't think they have seagulls in San Antonio, as there is no sea.
All right. It reminded me of a time years ago when I was in elementary school. My mom was going to drop me off at school, and we were almost there. I stared out the window towards some houses, and a fluffy black cat was trotting across people's yards, staring at me and keeping pace with the car. My mom was driving slowly, of course. I glanced away for a mere moment, and when I looked back out the window, the cat had vanished. Sometime after our trip to San Antonio, my mother's parents moved in with us. While I was on the computer, someone's shadow shifted over the right side of the computer screen. When I looked directly at the shadow, it quickly moved into another shadow to disappear. And I turned around to look behind me. No one was there. The next day, I overheard my mom complaining to her mom about seeing a shadow out of the corner of her eye. And she said, "I used to see them all the time when I was little. Sometimes they came as a black animal. You two must have brought them with you." So her grandparents brought the shadow animals to her house.
They say they're like good animals, bad animals. Do they give any explanation for the animals?
No, just that they're animals.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. In Lexington, they have black squirrels.
They have black squirrels in Canada.
Hmm.
When we went to Niagara Falls, Sean was so excited to see a black squirrel.
That's great.
I know.
That's awesome.
He's one of those people that, like, little things make him happy.
God bless him.
So.
And God bless him for helping us out tonight.
Oh, yeah. So I pulled an Amelia. I wrote out all of my notes, and I put them in my note writing notebook because I'm old school and I actually like to write by hand. So that's why you hear me flipping all these papers around here. So I get here, and I was looking for my notebook so that I could, like, make sure that I had stories for each of the different kinds of shadow people. I didn't have my notebook. So I call Sean.
Her husband.
My husband. And asked him, was he at the house? And was my notebook there? And he said it was. And so he took pictures of all of the pages, and he sent them to me so that I could print them out. And so now I have printouts of all my pages.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Well, that was very interesting.
I know. Now we all know all about the seven different kinds of shadow people.
But there's an eighth.
There's an eighth kind of shadow person.
The meth shadow person.
Oh, the meth heads. All right.
The meth heads. Okay, so this is an excerpt I found from an article titled "Meth or Magic? The Real Story Behind Shadow People" by Ed Smith, published on Truthfinder. Sightings of shadow people is very common for methamphetamine addicts. From a scientific perspective, this is easily explained. Meth wreaks havoc on the brain's ability to produce dopamine, the happiness chemical. Initially, meth will release a huge amount of dopamine, which can cause pleasant hallucinations like seeing angels or beautiful colors.
Let's all go try some meth.
Over time, meth numbs the production of dopamine in the brain. However, the temporal lobe, where the feelings of fear, rage, and aggression are stored, still remains sensitive to the drug. When dopamine floods the brain, along with a highly stimulated temporal lobe, this causes meth psychosis.
Let's not go try meth.
Which may contribute to shadow people sightings. Meth psychosis plays out very much like schizophrenia. The symptoms include hallucinations, paranoid delusions, and increased likelihood of becoming violent and lashing out. It's also worth mentioning that meth is a stimulant, and users often stay awake for days at a time. Even the healthiest person is likely to experience hallucinations after 72 hours being awake. Various studies have confirmed the side effect of lack of sleep is vivid hallucinations. Interesting.
So when we were little, my dad would tell a story about when he had been getting the older kids ready to take a trip to Virginia. So my dad worked nights, and usually he would sleep during the day while the kids were at school.
Mm-hmm.
So he was working nights, and then when the kids were at school, he was getting things ready to pack up and take to, there were five of them, five kids and mm-hmm. him. So he had to get everybody ready to go to Virginia. So he was up for like 3 or 4 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about the fact that as he came over the old Four River Bridge, remember the old bridge? anyway, it was like this big, fat, ugly bridge. He came down, and there was a rotary on the other side of it, mm-hmm. and he saw a camel walking across the rotary.
Hmm.
Like, and he like did a double take and like, a camel. Like, and somewhere in the back of his mind, he remembered hearing that like there was a zoo in town and animals had escaped.
Hmm.
Like, but no, it was just these two guys that happened to be walking across the rotary. But because he had been up so long, he had this like weird, vivid hallucination that they were a camel.
That's crazy.
And in a rotary in Quincy. Actually, right next to where the USS Salem is now.
Interesting.
Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with shadow people, ghosts, or but it doesn't, definitely but hallucinations. It
does, I'm going to tie that into what I'm about to say, which is, you know, we talk about shadow people. Shadow people seem, based on our stories we've had tonight and just general knowledge about the subject, to present themselves to people at these terrible times of their life. You have a lot going on. You seem to be very sad or depressed or stressed out or all these other things. You know, it's not like someone's perfectly happy and living in the vortex and all of a sudden a shadow person just like pops up. No.
Right.
It's like people are like sad and depressed, whatever else. So
like addicted to meth, have no dopamine, exactly. And all of their temporal lobe that's all freaked out and aggressive is
correct. But they're not seeing shadow cats. They're not all seeing camels walking across the street. No. They're all seeing shadow people.
Right.
That's the interesting part. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like they're all seeing clowns. They're not all seeing...
In fact, none of them are seeing clowns as far as we know.
As far as we know. Not enough of them to have them write into us about it. But, you know, it's... So I just think that's interesting. You know what I mean? Like, even that... Like, okay, yeah, all right, yeah. They're on meth. I get that. I get they're on meth. I get they're up for days at a time. But they're all having the same hallucination. What is that?
I don't know.
That's strange, right?
It is.
I don't know. Just thought it was worth mentioning.
Definitely worth mentioning. Worth thinking about.
Yeah. Food for thought.
Yeah. And yet another reason why we should say no to drugs.
Yes.
Yes. Especially meth.
Especially meth.
And it messes your teeth up. And if you're thinking about meth, watch Breaking Bad. It's no fun. Did you see Breaking Bad?
No. They don't need us to tell them don't do meth. Everyone knows don't do meth. And while you're at it, don't do heroin, okay? Did no one ever tell you that? Great. Now they did. Just don't do it.
Try to drink in moderation as well.
Drink in moderation, you know?
If you live in Massachusetts, pot's okay.
But it could also make you paranoid, so like, go easy on it, you know? Hey, just know? Don't...
You do you.
Yeah. Ugh.
So the last thing to talk about tonight is Walking Sam, who is a shadow person who has been really terrorizing the Pine Ridge, South Dakota area. And the Olaga Lakota arm of the Sayu Native American tribe all live there. So there's a reservation in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, and they have a problem with this shadow person called Walking Sam. In the Native American tradition, they have these things called stick Indians. And so the stick Indians are Native American shadow people, and they tell the elders and the parents, they tell their children tales. It's almost like the boogeyman, right? The difference between the boogeyman and the stick Indians are the stick Indians whistle to children. If children follow that sound, the whistling, and go to find the stick Indian, they can be paralyzed, hypnotized, or just driven mad. So kids are really warned against following sounds that they don't know. And, you know, it's a boogeyman story. And the idea that there's this smell of death that follows around the stick Indian. So those are two things that kids are taught to look for, is the smell of death in the air and whistling. And they should definitely get away from that. What makes Walking Sam a special sort of stick Indian is that he convinces teens to kill themselves by whispering to them that they are worthless and don't deserve life or affection. So he's not just whistling and saying, hey, come along with me. He actually goes and like starts having these like little whisper conversations in their ear. He's tall and thin. He wears a tall black hat. And what's kind of different about him than a lot of the other shadow people that we've heard about tonight is he carries the bodies of the Native American men and women over his arms, and he's looking to add more victims to his collection. So the pictures of it that I've seen, he is walking along and his arms are outstretched, and there's like people hanging from his arms, almost like Christmas ornaments along the length of his arm. And when I had heard the description, I thought of them as he was like carrying like full bodies in his arms, almost like a pro wrestler or something, like a big He-Man. But no, he was more like arms outstretched like a Christmas tree sort of thing. So I actually found the Christmas tree thing like much scarier than the pro wrestler sort of dragging the people around with him. All right. Anyway, so he goes out and he is trying to add more victims. From December 2014 to December 2015, there were 103 suicide attempts in Pine Ridge, South Dakota. Unfortunately, 9 of them were successful. The youngest was a 12-year-old girl.
Oh, that's tragic.
It isn't it? And the oldest was not even 24 years old. There have been incidents of people are sharing how to make a noose videos on Facebook. The people in the tribe are all sharing these with each other. And there have been incidences where people have hung nooses in the forest and left signs saying, just go do it around in the forest. And nobody is found responsible. They don't know who's hanging these nooses up. But the tribal elders will go out and take down, you know, 3-4 sets of nooses at a time. There have been a few times that group suicides have been narrowly saved, that the elders found out that there was a group of kids going out with the intention of killing themselves, and they showed up there really at the last minute, like the kids might already have the nooses hung up and they're, you know, climbing up the trees getting ready to jump. So it's really a serious problem out in Pine Ridge, South Dakota. There's documented significant issues with depression and mental illness among Native Americans in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, and
all over the country. And
to be fair enough, yeah. Yes.
It's a huge problem.
But in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, there's like 40,000 people that live there, and yeah, there's 6 mental health counselors.
Yeah.
Like that, it's just disgusting.
It is disgusting.
There's this idea that is Walking Sam like a manifestation, like a physical manifestation of depression and mental illness, is that, you know, that people are just in such agony such pain that they see this as their only way out. And it's really sad. So I have kind of a theory here that the tribe believes that the land that they live on and can feel, it can remember and, you know, express the pain that's gone through there. So Pine Ridge, South Dakota, is actually about 16 miles away from Wounded Knee, which probably sounds familiar to most people who took American history. But basically in 1890 at Wounded Knee, it was a massacre of the Sioux unarmed women and children by the United States government. They just went in and killed hundreds of people. And so that, is clearly a pretty traumatic thing that's happened to the land. And 16 miles isn't all that far when you're talking about like the size of the United States as a whole.
Or even South Dakota.
Well, and it's all part of the South Dakota Badlands, actually. So It's all just like big, flat, open lands. There was another episode that happened there, actually, in the 1970s. In 1973, what started as a demonstration by the Lakota tribespeople to impeach their tribal president for corruption turned into a like couple months long standoff where the government had to go in and several people, I couldn't get an exact number on how many, were actually killed during the standoff. It wasn't hundreds of people, but I think it was closer, somewhere between like 6 and 10 people. So that's, again, like just negative energy on that land. So is the land remembering just that terrible energy and manifesting it in the form of Walking Sam? I feel like this was a really sad way to end.
Yeah.
Want to talk about aliens a little bit?
The aliens is not any more pleasant.
Well, at least the thing that I heard about aliens, or that I came across in researching shadow people, is that shadow people actually are aliens. And the reason that the man with the hat man, wears a hat is because his head is oddly shaped, and so it's to blend in.
Yes, it's believed. The one weird thing about it is that typically shadow people are seen as very tall, while gray aliens, which is what is thought to maybe be the shadow people tend to be shorter in stature. So that's very interesting. But also, yeah, it tends to happen with alien abductions. There was a very famous abduction that happened in 1993 down in Melbourne, Australia. And people who saw this abduction happen, they claimed to have seen shadow people too. People had these weird markings over their stomach that were said to be brought on by the aliens, and it caused lots of womb infections.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not... We could go more into it, but it's not pleasant. That was like the most pleasant example I could come up with off the top of my head. Yeah.
This all went like very sideways.
You know what we should do?
What?
What if we transfer now into our drive-by ghostings and we have a really fun one?
We do have a really fun one.
Do you guys want to? So let's wrap up Shadow People. Yay, Shadow People.
Or boo, Shadow people.
We don't know. But yeah, time for a really fun drive-by ghosting we got.
Yeah. Amelia's so excited about this one.
I'm so excited. I love this one. I've showed it to everyone I know. This letter is entitled The Legend of Big Boot and the Creepy Nun Not from the Movie. Hi, Amelia and Beth.
Hi.
Hey. I have a great story for you, but first I want to tell you that I have a surprise for you at the end of the story. So this story starts out when I was about 4 years old. I lived in a house that was about Civil War times old. I would have scary dreams about a giant boot that I would call Big Boot. And the scariest part about Big Boot was every time I had a dream about Big Boot, I would wake up and there would be watery footsteps at the edge of my bed that looked like, you guessed it, cowboy boots. Also, I would always have a lady that looked like a nun that would float into my room. I would hide under the covers and the face would go through it. Then I would fall asleep immediately. Okay. Ready for that special surprise? I'm a kid! Okay, keep up the good work and make more videos. Bye! P.S. So many people watch you because you are the second top ghost hunting podcast on Spotify. Well, my goodness, thank you so much for writing in that note. I also applaud your use of multiple explanation point. What? Why can't I say this word?
Exclamation.
Why can't I say it?
I don't know. Because it's late and you're tired.
Oh my gosh. Exclamation points. Because I do the same thing when I send emails. I just go nuts with my points and I love them and I love that you use them. And that was a great story. And you know what, kiddo? We are now the top ghost hunting podcast on Spotify.
Stop it. Are we?
Yeah.
Excellent.
We are. So thank you. Thank you so much to all of our listeners who made that possible.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Stephanie, that was such a great story.
That was really sweet. Thank you. That really made my day.
I have to say, if that witch's face or the nun's face was coming through the blankets at me, like, I don't think that I would have been able to go to sleep. I think I would have been too scared. So, and I admire your cool-headedness that you were just like, yeah, it's time to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a boss.
Absolutely.
Way to go.
Thanks for writing in. Send us any other stories that you have.
Yeah. And keep on listening.
Always. And tell a friend.
Tell 10 friends. Tell your class. Have a show up for show and tell. We'll be there.
Oh, depending on where it is, I would totally go for show and tell.
Yeah, let's go.
We could do it over Skype.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, they could put us on Skype in the classroom and we could talk about how you make a podcast.
You know, you and your teacher can work it out. Just let us know the details.
Right. Amelia can, Amelia might struggle because, you know, she works like 8 million hours a week. So she's going to need some lead time.
Yeah, give me a couple of days. Also, if you have any friends who need a job, have them call me. But, depending how young of a kid you are.
Have a look at this!
All right, folks. This is it. This is the last one that we have from our friend Daniel.
Daniel, we need your stories. Where are you at?
And I heard through the grapevine, Daniel, that you were planning to record yourself doing a story. And you might have been going, like, full production on it. So, where is it?
Yeah, so we need that because we are recording our super spooky Halloween show on October 25th to be released on the 30th. So, Daniel, you, also everyone else listening, we need your stories for that show. We want to have as many of you guys involved as possible.
Right. Scary Halloween stories.
Scary Halloween stories.
Funny Halloween stories.
Hilarious Halloween stories. You can write it in. You can record yourself doing it.
Please record yourself doing it.
Whatever. We're here for all of it. So please, 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 please. Okay. Here's Daniel's story.
Sometime around the mid-1980s, in my old home of Hobart, Tasmania, southernmost...
What? Hold on.
I know. I was just kind of hoping that we could move past that.
No, we can't. No, we can't. No, we can't. You got to send me... You know what I want.
A Tasmanian devil?
I want a Tasmanian devil photo.
Just a picture?
I don't want... My cat would kill it. Or, well, I don't know. They're pretty tough. Right. But... Yeah, just send a picture. I want a picture.
We can get you a picture on Google
I want one from an Australian. Okay, now you can continue.
Did you get a kangaroo picture last time you asked for one? I know you got a shirtless picture.
I did get a shirtless picture.
Did you share that?
Yeah. I did. I put it on our story. Daniel sent me a hilarious shirtless picture that was so funny. It was a shirt hanger. With just a tie around it and no shirt on it. Get it? Like a shirtless.
Yeah, that was a funny day. All right. We're going to try this again. Sometime around the mid-1980s in my old home of Hobart, Tasmania, southernmost state of Australia, I was told the following story about an elderly gentleman that was driving home in his cherished sedan years earlier. He suffered a heart attack during the drive, but thankfully he was only driving slowly at the time and crashed lightly into a fence outside a house, only knocking a couple of boards loose. Allegedly, he had passed before the car hit the fence, and the car suffered minimal damage. A few months later, a man in his mid-20s bought the repaired car, unaware that its previous owner had died in the driver's seat. One afternoon, the new owner was driving alone along the same section of road where the accident had happened. Suddenly, without any movement for the driver's arms, the car started to drift to the right, with the driver yanking it back into the lane in time to avoid hitting anyone coming the other way. Do they drive on the wrong side of the road in Australia?
I have no idea. Their toilets flush the wrong way, though.
As we learned from The Simpsons all those years ago. Yeah. Something made him look into his rearview mirror, and he nearly died on the spot from the shock of seeing a well-dressed elderly man sitting in the back seat behind him. He looked out the front for a moment, and then when he looked again in the mirror, the man was gone, but the smell of Old Spice aftershave filled the air for a moment, a fragrance the young man never wore. A few days later, the new owner was driving the same road again, and he kept glancing into the mirror. Nothing appeared, but as he approached the crash location, he noticed the car steering to the right, and the smell of Old Spice again wafted through the car. He pulled it back into line and continued on his way. A few days later, he made some inquiries about the car and discovered its history and where it crashed. He put two and two together and decided that the car had to go. Someone must have kept tabs on the car, as over the next couple of years, stories were added to the original about the car trying to turn to the right toward the crash point numerous times for more than one driver, but only when headed in a northerly direction, the same as the original crash. There is even a story that its final ride was on the back of a trailer being towed to the wreckers, when the trailer became detached and swung toward the fence, crashing lightly into the fence. The trailer was rehitched and it continued uneventfully to its final destination at the wrecker. After that, nothing more was heard, so it's assumed that the car didn't do the same thing as James Dean's Porsche Spyder and curse every vehicle parts were used on. A side note of interest is that the other cars have hit that same fence in the same spot from both directions, only slightly damaging it each time. The section of road is straight, level, well-lit, with good sight distances. Could the old man be locked to the location once his car was wrecked, or could these cars have parts from the original? A great legend-making idea, but we can eliminate that idea as the cars were from different makes over many manufacture years. It would be interesting to see if the drivers noticed someone in the back seat or the smell of Old Spice.
Good story.
Thanks, Daniel.
I like Old Spice.
Really?
Yeah, it smells good. Mm. Well, thanks so much, Daniel. That was awesome.
I know. Now we've made it through all of your stories.
I can't believe you lived in Tasmania.
And this is the first we're learning of it.
I know. What the heck? You know, it's not Tasmania, but we do have some more listeners now in New Zealand.
Nice.
Yeah.
They have a lot of alpacas there, don't they?
So thank you to our Kiwis.
Kiwis.
That's what they like to be called.
Are you sure?
I am sure.
I don't actually like being called a masshole, but other people will say that.
No, that's what they like to be called, Kiwis. I don't know why.
All right. Kiwis are green, and I like them when they're a little bit tart, not too sweet yet.
I love kiwis.
Yeah. I don't like the fuzzy part.
When I owned a juice bar, we used a lot of kiwis. They were so good. Yum, yum, yum. Kiwi, kiwi, kiwi. Okay. Time for 5-star reviews. Yeah.
Five stars.
What up? Okay, so this one actually comes from the past. Ooh, way in the past. This one I found on Podbean.
Podbean?
Okay. This comes off of Podbean approximately 1 month ago. It is from Zombie Superman. Great name. Love this podcast. Definitely 5 stars. Yeah, what up?
Thanks, Zombie Superman.
Thank you, Zombie Superman. And while we're talking about podcasts, Beth, 12% of our listeners listen to us on Stitcher, which I'm unfamiliar with. But I looked it up a little bit, and you can leave reviews on Stitcher.
And we don't have any.
We don't have any. What? The, what? What?
If you're out, so 12% of 5 people is like half a person. It's like 0.6 of a person. So
you don't get off the hook for being half of a person. I'm sorry.
Right. So whoever our 0.6 of a person is who's listening on Stitcher, go ahead, throw up a review.
Yeah. Please. 5 stars, please.
Give yourself a fun name too.
Please, 5 stars.
Oh, well, definitely 5 stars. Doesn't that go without saying? It's not like people leave 1-star reviews.
I shouldn't. Our next 5-star review comes from iTunes. So fun. Exclamation point. I love ghosts and New England, so this podcast is a blast. From McSween1288. Thank you so much, McSween1288. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, McSween1288.
McSween.
I wonder if that's January 2nd, 1988, or if it's December of
1988. Ooh, write it in and let us know. Are you a Capricorn or a Sagittarius? Okay, Beth. Ellen, do we have anything else?
No, we got some contact information.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. You can find us on social media. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. You can find us anywhere that you get your podcasts. Amelia has something to add.
I have been making a concerted effort to ask people where they have heard about us. Right? Mm-hmm. Anything I like to know. It helps me do my Amelia thing where I make lists in my brain. Okay. So I would like to give a shout out to Kitchen Witchin on Twitter, who found us through Twitter.
Nice.
What? That's crazy. Twitter. We have like 50 Twitter followers. Please follow us on Twitter so more people can find us.
Well, you got to put content on Twitter.
I do put content on our Twitter.
And you got to go get into the spooky chats.
You keep saying there are Twitter chats and I can't find them.
Okay. We'll look at the Twitter chats.
I got to figure it out. You got to show me fast because I'm supposed to give a social media talk to my Rotary Club in like a week.
Oh yeah. No problem. Twitter's easy, but confusing to get started with.
I haven't told them about Twitter, so I think we're going to focus mostly on Instagram and Facebook, which I'm very good at.
Okay. And besides, there's lots of pictures there.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Back to contact. Sorry, Beth.
That's okay. You can send us an email, ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. You can visit our website, www.ghosthuntinginnewengland.com. You can send us a carrier pigeon to the Somerville Media Center in beautiful Somerville, Massachusetts.
And on our website, there's a contact form. So if you can't remember our email address, you can just go to our website, which you can click on basically anywhere that you can find us anywhere on the internet. And that is how you can submit your Halloween spooky story.
Great.
Make sure it is in by October 25th.
If you can't remember our email address, you can also reach out to us on any of those social media platforms. Amelia checks those neurotically.
Neurotically. Like an insane person.
Want to say thank you to Aaron Schilb for posting all of those beautiful pictures of himself all over Instagram. And of course, for doing the music for our podcast. If you haven't followed Aaron on Instagram so far, @TheAaronSchilb.
God bless you, Aaron. Thank you.
A big thank you to all of the people who sent in or at some point put together a story of their shadow people experiences that we shamelessly stole and just read on our podcast.
Yeah. And thank you, Stephanie and Daniel, for sending in your drive by ghostings.
Absolutely. Anything else?
I think that's it. Just tip your waitress and
happy hunting. I'm waiting for the siren to go by.
Cat.
Are you just purring like a cat randomly?
I'm the vortex, baby.
Okay.
Feels good, do it.